Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thank you again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and the host of this show. We are going to have a very full show this evening, so I want to just get right to it. But before I go into our main segments here, I am going to give you an idea as to how to find my books. So, of course, I've got all my books on Amazon. If you'd like to look at the book covers, go to www.paranormalencounters.com. paranormaluniversalpress.com, and there you will find 8 books. I may be working on my 9th for next year, but not just yet. And there you will find probably the book I would recommend the most, being, it's called Manifestations. And Manifestations has 4 of my 8 books included in that one volume. So if you want to know what kinds of experiences can occur out there or can live in my world, a good 100 plus at this point. But I've given you some of my most interesting and best in that book. Some of you have wanted to know how you can find my segments. Podomatic is where all my segments are housed. I have a variety of topics. And I would go back to my website, the Paranormal Universal Press website. And towards the upper right, you will see a button called Podomatic. Click on that. That'll bring you right into my website where I house all of my segments. And again, I have a large variety. You can listen for days just listening to all these segments. And of course, I'm also heard on ParaX Radio Network on Thursday evenings from 11 o'clock to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. And usually these are the segments that I post on Podomatic. So it's a podcast show. Some of those shows on ParaX are actually live. Okie dokie, as they say where I am from. Let's talk about what's happening on the show tonight. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about psychokinesis, paranormal, and UFOs, all 3 combined into one. This show was inspired by a conference which I just recently was at in Las Vegas regarding precognition, and a shout out to all of the speakers who did their best on trying to really bring these types of topics to the forefront and give us something to think about. So I hope you enjoy the material that I'm going to present this evening on this. Of course, first we're going to start, I believe tonight, we're going to start with Ghoulish Chatterbox with Mildred. And of course, then we're going to go into a very lengthy haunted report, which contains many of the stories shared to me at that conference, and with some discussion and also a little research that goes along with some of them. And then, of course, we're going to go into our main segment on psychokinesis, paranormal, and UFOs, all in a big little debate, all wrapped up in a nice little package. So, with that being said, I think I better move on to our first segment, Ghoulish Chatterbox. Stay tuned.
Do you often sleep?
With the lights on? Ghoulish.
Hey, Mildred, take a look over there. We have finally reached our destination, Venice, Italy.
Wow, Dr. Kelly, that is really, really cool. And it's so different. It's all made out of stone.
Yeah, I would say most of it's probably pretty much made out of stone, and it's a very, very popular place to come and visit.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yuck. The water, it's so dirty, Dr. Kelly.
Yes, just keep your hands out of the water. It's a little bit on the dirty side.
Oh, my God! Is that a human body floating in the water?
No, Mildred, that's not a human body floating in the water. It's just somebody's pair of pants.
Oh, good Lord.
Just keep your hands out of the water and we'll be at this little, I call it an island, this little point of the island shortly here. Okay, let's take a look around. Get out. All right, now let's look around.
Wow, this is something else. There's just so many people here and it's just really interesting.
Yes, it's really interesting.
Oh, Dr. Kelly, I'm a little bit on the hungry side. Can we go get ourselves a chocolate croissant?
No, it's not a chocolate croissant. It's a croissant.
Croissant?
Yes, croissant. Chocolate croissant.
Well, okay. Well, here's a small bakery. We could go inside here. Smells so good in here.
Yes, it is. Let me do the ordering, okay? 2 chocolate croissants, please. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mildred, let's go sit outside on a bench and just kind of take in the sights and the views and all that.
All right, Dr. Kelly, here's a bench. Let's go sit down right here.
Now, let's enjoy our chocolate croissant, shall we?
Ooh, this is so yummy, and it just tastes so good. There's a bunch of pigeons that are approaching us, Dr. Kelly.
Yes, stay calm. I think they're after what we have in our hands, which is the croissant.
Oh, my God. Dr. Kelly, they're attacking us. Oh!
Just stay calm, Mildred. Here, pull off some of your bread from your croissant and just throw it at them, and maybe that'll divert and leave us alone.
Oh, it's getting worse. They're just attacking us. I can't take it anymore.
All right, we better get up and get out of here before they decide to eat us too. So let's go over here. Let's go inside this restaurant. That way we won't be attacked by birds as we're sitting outside trying to enjoy the view here.
Oh, okay. Hello, Mr. Waiter.
Mildred, he can't hear you.
2, please.
Mildred, he can't hear you.
Dr. Kelly, why is he looking at us so funny? He's just looking straight at you with some really weird face.
It's because I'm talking down to the floor and he can't hear you, so he thinks I'm crazy. 1, please. I would like to have 2 pieces of pizza on 2 plates, please. What? You don't understand why I need 2 pieces of pizza? Oh, brother. Okay, so...
Why is he looking at us so funny?
It's because he can't see you, and I keep looking down. That's why. So he's. Why don't we just pay for our pizza and take a chance with the birds and go out and so here's yours. If you can float it out of here, and maybe he'll learn something today. All right. So here you go. Thank you. No problem. All right. So what? I'm not supposed to tip you. Okay, I keep forgetting we're not in the U.S. anymore, so...
Why is he getting so angry?
Because apparently in some countries they don't like to be tipped. And their tip is already included in the wage that they are receiving or they're asking for.
That's silly! If you want to give somebody some additional money, why can't you?
Because that's the way it is, okay? So... We're not in the U.S., and so we have to abide by the customs of the country, provided they accept our generosity or not. Come on, Mildred, let's get out of here. Here. Let's go over here, Mildred.
There's a fountain over here. Wow, this is really... Ew! There's a naked man standing in the fountain, Dr. Kelly. This is disgusting.
Mildred, relax. This is what is called artwork.
Artwork? There's a naked man standing in the fountain. What more can a person... I can't look. I'm just a child. Put some pants on this man.
Mildred, this is part of culture and artistic culture. This is something that you're just going to have to get used to over here.
I can't look. I'll look the
other way. Just look the other way. Now sit down by this fountain here. Isn't this a wonderful view?
Yeah, since I'm not looking at the naked man.
Mildred, we don't care about the naked man. Just look straight out here. We're not being attacked by birds. We're having our pizza. People are walking by. It's really, really a nice day. Nice cool breeze. So what do you think of that?
Dr. Kelly, I can't sit by this naked man anymore.
Oh, for the love of God. Okay, let's get up and let's go over here then. Let's just start going and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Why are people throwing coins in the fountain?
Because it's a way to make a wish. Yeah, would you like to make a wish? Here, I'll give you a few coins. You toss them into the fountain.
Okay, uh-oh. There's trouble lurking. There's a policeman over there, and he didn't see you throw all the coins in. He saw the coins fly by themselves. He's blowing his whistle. Dr. Kelly, let's get out of here, okay?
Oh, for God's sakes. All right. Well, Mildred, I think we better get back on this boat and start paddling our way out of here then before we get arrested, and I'm not going to be able to explain this one. So paddle away. Come on, paddle. Come on, paddle a little bit faster.
Oh, the water's so dirty, I just got it on my hands. Ew, sanitizer.
Mildred, I don't think they have sanitizer on the boat.
Sanitizer, please!
Keep paddling, Mildred, keep paddling. Well, goodbye, Venice. It was nice to see you, have a chocolate croissant, a pizza, getting attacked by birds, run out of Dodge by a policeman who saw coins flying in the air. All I can say is it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, Venice, but I don't know if I want to come back.
Of course you want to come back, maybe when you're a little bit older. So long.
So long, everybody. Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome, everyone, to the Haunted Report, and a shout-out to my friends from a conference that I recently attended in Las Vegas, especially to those who shared their stories with me regarding many aspects of what I believe to be either a flavoring of psychokinesis or psychokinetic abilities and or paranormal experiences. And so anyway, I'm going to be discussing some of their stories with you here in just a moment, but I wanted to just give a shout out and a thank you very much for your time and in discussing your stories with me. One of the first things I wanted to bring up to you was, I believe in my last segment, I think it was on the segment of ridding poltergeists, I had mentioned in my haunted report that I had a situation where something in my pantry had some cups had slung themselves against the wall, and instead of falling straight down to the ground, once they hit the door of that pantry, they somehow fell backwards and were positioned next to some cereal boxes I had on the floor, in a way that made them appear to not be damaged or whatnot. Well, to my surprise, when I brought my husband to the pantry and I said, here, take a look at this. I said, this is not possible how this shot off the shelf, hit this, and then ended up, of course, on the floor. I noticed that my bottle that I had oil in, it was a plastic one, was decompressed. In other words, it was almost like it was almost flattened. Not completely, because there's still some oil in it, but almost flattened. And I will tell you, I have never seen anything like that in my entire life. So I said to my husband, I said, this is something you would see if you were if it was really cold out or somehow a water bottle decompressed. But I said, you don't see this in a cupboard. And so I wanted to add the additional little piece of report here to you that in addition to the cups slinging themselves against the door and falling back in a place where it seemed a little bit not logical, that I also discovered in there this oil bottle that was almost just like flattened in a way that was just not possible to do. So anyhow, if you can explain that one to me, I'm all ears. So let's get started tonight here with some of the reports that were shared with me by others, and let's have a little discussion on whether you think something like this is psychokinetic, which is it's being created from a person's mind, or whether or not it's truly paranormal. I'll give you my take on it as we go through each of these stories. My first shout out goes to my friend in New York. First of all, it was very nice to meet you. I hope you're listening to this program. And I want to thank you for your friendship and your time while throughout that conference. It was it made my day better just knowing that there's someone who could actually relate to maybe not so much the paranormal stuff that I experience in my life, but more or less some of the other stuff. This friend of mine, she was telling me a little bit about her brother and how he passed away suddenly in his 40s, trying to, I don't want to use the word impress upon her, that sometimes our loved ones are near, we just don't know it, or they give us signs and cues and we ignore them because we just don't, you know, focus on that. There was a speaker at this conference who had the ability, she felt she had the ability to speak with the deceased. And anyway, we were sitting in a restaurant, this gal from New York and I, and all of a sudden her arm started beating up, you know, how you get goosebumps and the hair is standing up on your arms and all that. Well, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that even though we were out in Las Vegas and it was 101 to 107 degrees outside, and they really do turn up the air in these casinos to the point where you have to wear a sweater, that we had been together so much in certain situations that this was a highly unusual situation. I just want to tell you, my friend, that the experience that you were going through when we were sitting there at the restaurant was indeed a visitation from your brother for a couple of reasons. Number one, I have a really good intuition when it comes to disembodied individuals being around me. I am not God, but I know that because we were talking about your brother and that he liked Las Vegas a lot, and that all of a sudden your mind was connected with his spirit, I just know that that was him. And so anyway, when or if you ever get a chance to, and you have occurrences again, feel free to reach out to me and tell me in what respect these were happening, because sometimes we do get visitations and we pass them off as the air conditioning is too high. It's the temperature of my body. I'm not feeling well, et cetera, et cetera. And oftentimes when there are messages, we miss them, just because. So I thought that was interesting though, because it was very timely. And again, I hope that your brother will make more visits with you as time goes on. The next person I met, was a young man from California. If you're listening, you had expressed to me that when your father died, that you did not get the news right away, but that things were happening in your house that seemed a little bit unusual. And so then you were telling me a few things that were happening in your house. I do have written down one thing that I want to talk about. I cannot recall the other things that had happened, but I do know that that would have been likely. Those things were likely to have been some type of message or sign from your father. He was trying to reach out, and you were probably confused at the time, not knowing what they were. But let me talk a little bit about your story regarding your stove. I can't recall if your stove is electric or was gas. I do recall, though, you're telling me something about how it was clicking. And for those of us who have had or experienced or have gas stoves, you know that sometimes when you turn the dial, it click, 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 clicks before it ignites. And you had asked me whether or not you thought that that could have been a sign or something from your father. I am on the fence with that one simply because I don't know why a family member would want to attempt to put you in harm's way by tampering with such a dangerous object or piece of equipment. Now, keep in mind that people that have passed away in the neighborhood can have a tendency to want to, you know, take up residence in people's homes for no reason with the exception of maybe they feel comforted by the environment or by you. I don't think that was your dad giving you a sign with the stove. But I do believe that everything else you discussed, and again, I can't read my handwriting, can you believe that, regarding the other things you told me about that were very likely that it was some kind of a sign from him that he was okay, he made it to a place of peace, he wanted to make contact with you. And sometimes that's the way that some of these deceased individuals do this. They do this through things that seem odd or awkward at the time, and they make contact. Not necessarily that you know it's them, but just the fact that they're trying to alert you to. But thank you for your story, because I wanted to bring up the stove aspect. I just am not 100% sure that your dad would have played around with your stove. It just seems to be too much of a dangerous thing. While this conference was going on, a gentleman approached me. And again, if you're listening, a big hello to you as well. And thank you for sharing with me your brief story. This person had apparently experienced the night before, or like the first night of the conference, or the first morning of the second day of the conference, knocking on his bedposts. And this person was from Arizona and wasn't expecting that to happen. But what I explained to him was Las Vegas is the number one suicide capital in the world, and that you cannot tell me that not all, but I believe all, casinos at one point there have had some type of suicide. You just don't always hear about them, or sometimes they do go public with them. It depends on how bad it is, or how dramatic it is, or what happened that led up to that. I firmly believe. And the other thing that can happen too, of course, is that if you are in a particular place and you get an attachment, Las Vegas out there has all of the elements that bring up energy, that has energy. There's so much of that roaming around out there that it doesn't surprise me that someone can bring that back to a hotel room with them. And I have had those experiences in many different ways. Okay, so you had asked me about the knocks on your bedpost, okay, or you're teasing me about it. And my thoughts back to you on this are this. Well, first of all, was this entity trying to wake you up because you were possibly running the risk of falling back to sleep and not getting up, or just simply wanted to let you know that, hey, I'm sharing a room with you, you know, it's time for you to leave so I can enjoy my room? And one of the themes about this, again, about this conference was regarding poltergeists. And I decided to pull up some information from a source that seemed fairly credible. And they were talking about the stages of a poltergeist haunting. And I have had these in my own house. But let me just kind of read to you the stage one. Stage one is people can usually hear a very faint sound or scratching noise, which might be disregarded as rodents or something in the walls or probably something in the water pipes. And they're only usually heard at night. Now, let me correct this article that I do have a friend that lives close by me here who has been hearing these scratches in my house since I moved in it a year ago, and in all different places. So I don't know how to explain that. I personally have not heard any scratching noises, but anyway. Stage two of a poltergeist haunting can represent knuckles or something knocking on wood, okay? And these sounds are a little bit more harder to ignore, and sometimes it's on glass, but very loud, unexplained banging noises. And let me see what this article says about it. Objects that can sometimes be felt to vibrate and may be heard during daylight hours. Okay, bingo, you had stage two of a possible poltergeist haunting. That's interesting. Okay. Stage three of a poltergeist haunting. Objects may be moved around, stone throwing. Objects may disappear and reappear. And this usually focuses on a certain object or a specific ornament or keys. Well, isn't that interesting? Because I brought that one up at the conference. It's rare to actually see the item be moved. Yeah, I agree. Items may be hot to the touch immediately thereafter, moving of objects. Okay, so that's very interesting. I have had all of this occur in a moving object haunting. And so I think that's stage three. Stage four, it's called apporting and disapports, which means when an object appears from out of nowhere, it's called an apport or apport. When an object disappears into oblivion, it is called a disapport. And these types of activities are extremely rare but have been reported. I have had that happen to me in a different way where things are being hidden and then all of a sudden found. But I think, and I have had individuals at the conference actually tell me about situations where things were disappearing, etc. I actually have a segment on my show here. Let's see, it's the one with the interview with Deb, Murder Manifest Sister, or something like that, where her sister would always take things and then would put them back in her purse or whatever. So that's kind of interesting too. Stage five, a code of knocks. Okay, this may be two knocks indicating yes or one knock indicating no, some kind of a pattern. And then it's almost in this cases where you might hear whistles or slurps or growls, muttering voices. Then it might, the voice might sound a little robotic. And then they claim that this speech is a little bit, I don't know, making very short statements. Claims the poltergeist about their identity is usually fairly grand. And sometimes when they interview this poltergeist, it claims it was a murderer, a victim of a suicide, or a famous person. And then they find out later on that what was given to them or said to them was actually determined to be false. And I think that that's really interesting that you see on some of these shows that they will tell you suicide or hung or whatever or whatever, only to find out that many of these claimed spirits could actually be demonic. And so you don't really ever know truthfully who is bringing you this message. And you don't know if truthfully you're being tricked. Okay, so that's something I want to forewarn people on regarding making communication with entities that you cannot see that may be giving you these messages in some way. Stage 6. The poltergeist activity will suddenly increase to a point it had never reached before. This may last several hours or several days. If the poltergeist can talk, it may state that it's going to be leaving soon. Unlike previous claims, it will generally turn out to be true. Okay, I agree, because in my last show on reading poltergeist, I had a full week of fun, okay? Things were happening. I don't know. That's what led me to my questions at this conference as to whether I was doing these things myself and how I was doing these things myself. But it was just the, you know, between the oil bottle and the cups and the wardrobe door opening up and something attempting to keep my husband out of the house. And then there was one other thing, and I can't remember right offhand, but it was just a series. Oh, my caretaker came over for, you know, a chat session, and she experienced the same thing where my husband experienced it, trying to keep him out of the house. You know, but the house, after I discovered the oil bottle and everything, has been, knock on wood, quiet and calmed down since then. So it is very possible that the poltergeist has moved on. I don't know. Stage 7, decline. According to this guy, the decline is almost always much shorter than the buildup. The poltergeist will lose its abilities in reverse and gradually become weaker. Well, it is very true. If it's still here, it had so much fun in my house that, you know, it became weaker and it just didn't have any more oomph in it anymore. And then finally, stage 8, the ending. The activity may slowly slip to an end. Sometimes this poltergeist activity will reach a dramatic conclusion, and in many cases, exorcisms or blessings may prematurely kill the activity, but sometimes the focused person leaving the premise may cause the activity to cease. Okay, I'm not going to pick on my caretaker, but it seems like every time she's been in my house, stuff seems to be activated. So I think I need to have a little talk with my caretaker. And so. And then this is a very long article, and I'll read pieces of it to you when we get to the main portion. But I wanted to bring up this because I thought it was pretty interesting, considering. So when he told me about the bed knocks, well, that was stage 2, apparently, of stage 8. Okay. Then I met this gal from Wisconsin, who was telling me how she moved a few times and that in her last house, I believe, or apartment or wherever, that she had heard singing and things were disappearing. And I thank you for that as well, because you fall into a stage of the poltergeist phenomena. And the singing, though, is very interesting because it reminds me of the music that I heard with my niece when she was very young, and it just came out of nowhere, and it was in the middle of the living room, and it just went poof, and it just started playing. She was dancing at the time, just, you know, carrying on dancing. There was no music going on or anything, and it just was the oddest thing, and she heard it, and it scared her, and I heard it, and I thought, how am I going to explain this to a 9-year-old? And I think she now still seriously has some kind of fear of the paranormal and or will never get that out of. I don't want her to be traumatized by this. But when this stuff happens and you hear it, and this gal that at the conference said she heard singing in her hallway and all this, you can't help but be a little bit unnerved, because the main piece here is that you can't see it. So you don't know if you're causing this. I don't know how, but if you're causing this, or if it's what we call residual, the elements and everything just lines up perfectly environmentally and everything, and what had happened in the past just kind of comes out. I don't know. I can't explain that one. I just can tell you that I understand what you went through, because I went through it with the music that happened when my niece was dancing, and it just was the most bizarre thing I had ever experienced as well. Another gentleman here from the conference, he lived next to a cemetery. In his case, sometimes there's been a lot of discussion about cemeteries. Some people feel, oh, it's the deceased, they're gone, they're dead, they're not there, you know, and that might be very true for 90% of them. You know, they may not be hanging around that cemetery. But it seems like whatever hangs around a cemetery isn't always a friendly ghost. Sometimes it's demonic, or we don't understand why there's these certain things that hang around. I do know I had a segment and did a segment on cremation, burial, that sort of thing. And I looked up some research on what people thought happened when you get buried, and, you know, that it's not always a pretty thing. But the thing is that this guy was telling me how he was next to a cemetery, didn't believe in ghosts, didn't think that there was going to be anything that came from it. I don't know. I'm wondering if this gentleman was Jewish, because Jewish individuals don't believe in, I think it's they don't believe in God, heaven or hell. And so anyway, he told me that one day he was sleeping and he rolled over and he came face to face with an older woman. He could actually see her physical features of her face, something in the middle of her head, gray hair or white hair pulled back. She was staring right at him, but that she was more peaceful and not real scary, but more peaceful. And in a nutshell, he decided to crawl down the bed, didn't go out that direction because his bed was against a wall. And then he moved. You know, I can still tell that it bothered him a little bit after talking with him, but just understand that sometimes people either take up residence in a place or it used to be their place. And because she wasn't, real scary looking and she looked more pleasant looking, she was just letting you know that she was there. And who knows, maybe she felt your bed was really comfortable. I don't know. One of my final two examples, a couple that I met from Montreal, Canada. And this one was a very interesting story because this one involved a time slip. Okay, again, a time slip is where you might be in a certain area or whatever, and all of a sudden it's like peeling back the air and seeing what used to either be there, or something in time coming back to revisit wherever you are. And I found your story to be really interesting because she was explaining that she was outside of her house or something, and this really old, outdated car. And I'm not talking about like a car that you would see at a car show. Yes, something like that. But she said there was something very strange about this whole situation. It just was not, it wasn't even typical of a car show. It was like this gentleman, older gentleman, came driving up to where her house was, and she was outside at the time, and there wasn't anyone else around her, and he had asked her if the previous owner was still living there. Call it coincidence, call it whatever you want to, but the previous owner had passed away, and even the neighbors wouldn't talk about that house, by the way. She never really knew the story of that house. She just knew people weren't telling her things that she probably didn't want to hear anyway, like the woman died in there or whatever. But she had, she said that was a very odd moment with this guy, and I said, well, what happened afterwards? And I think, I don't know if you, I can't remember if you said you stood there and watched him drive away, or you turned and walked away or whatever, but then he just kind of went on his merry way. But some of the occurrences that she had in this house were that she was washing dishes one day and she had felt somebody like pull her, you know, her pants, pull it back, like pull backwards. And so she was pulled backwards from the sink. And she wasn't in any danger washing the dishes or anything. It was almost like someone was telling her that this kitchen area was her territory or something. And then there was an issue when she was holding a knife and the way she held it, and that there was some situation that occurred with that, like someone was trying to help her hold the knife in a safer way or something like that. So she had a few of these experiences and probably several more. But I thought the time slip one was very fascinating, especially since she felt it was just something very bizarre and odd. And then, of course, when you're working with knives and stuff like that, and you're in the kitchen, some people just feel that the kitchen is their territory, you know? And finally, the final one that I'm going to talk about is someone that I... So thank you very much to all the participants of that conference who came forward with their stories. There is a young woman that I just recently met over the 4th of July weekend was telling me, because I asked about this restaurant. There was reported that it was haunted, and so I asked her if she knew anything about that. And she had said to me that she was there, you know, several years ago when all of this stuff had occurred. But apparently the story is that there's a 16-year-old young gal, long blonde hair, thin, who fell down the stairs of that building. The building was original, but it had been remodeled since. Fell down the stairs and potentially died. And so all kinds of things were happening, including being seen from behind, just tapping on the shoulders. A gentleman in the kitchen reported two knives were floating in the air, hearing things, you know, hearing that going up to where the alcohol was stored up in the something similar to an attic, and hearing the bottles shake and menu or papers fly off of the edge of something or whatever. And so just all kinds of things happening there. And that for a long period of time, then she left, and then she came back to be a waitress, and that she felt a tap on her shoulders, and that was about 3 years ago. And so the question that sometimes people ask is, well, then why does this stuff die out and then it comes back? It just depends. Sometimes it's all environmental. Sometimes the conditions have to be right. Sometimes, again, I've talked about ley lines a few times in my shows. Ley lines are electrical currents that actually go through some places that you cannot see. And if these things get ignited enough, they could cause things to fling off the wall. They could cause things to not necessarily float in the air, but be slung against something or whatever. And it's all a matter of what's happening also environmentally, as well as what's happening psychically. I hope that these stories were of interest to you. When we talk about paranormal, poltergeists, and psychokinesis, which is what this show is going to be about, we have to always consider and wonder what truly is happening out there. I will talk a little bit more of this as we get into our main segment. Thank you for listening to The Haunted Report this evening. Stay tuned, of course, and we'll continue on with this show. The segment to be discussed this evening will be on psychokinesis, paranormal, and UFOs. This will be the educational portion of the podcast. Before I begin, I want to apologize. It is going to be a very short version this evening. I hope to be able to expand further on these topics as we go forward into new segments into the future. Let's start with psychokinesis. The definition of psychokinesis is more or less an alleged psychic ability of a person to influence a physical object without interaction. That could be moving that object with their mind. Psychokinesis experiments have historically been criticized for lack of proper controls and repeatability, and there is no convincing evidence that psychokinesis is a real phenomenon, and it's usually regarded as pseudoscience. The word psychokinesis is something that's very much attached to the person's mind, soul, spirit, or breath. and of course meaning motion or movement. And I would have to agree with this description that it is hard to control and it is hard to repeat. When I was in Vegas and we had that conference with these experts who are perceived experts who are very knowledgeable on in their areas, we attempted in an experiment to move a piece of tinfoil with our minds. If you go to your computer and you pull up my Podomatic website, you will see the picture I'm referring to as to what we did with that piece of tinfoil to move it or to manipulate it. I can tell you right now that I was able to mind control, to move it forward and backward and in any direction I wanted to when my mind was in the proper state of being. That's why it's difficult to control or repeat, because not always will you be in the right state of mind. So a lot of times when these events happen, they use physical energy. I would agree with that. And of course, when we have this physical energy, we then wonder if it has anything to do with the paranormal. How can you tell the difference between psychokinesis or the use of that and a paranormal experience? Not always can you. One of the things that I can tell you is that there's a number of stories that I have in my books that I swear up and down were paranormal. After that conference was over, I am now beginning to rethink a few things a little bit and wondering if some of my experiences were not simply my ability under conditions to be able to move objects once I established a relationship with that object. For example, the key that turned itself in the door, the clock hands of a clock that move in, you know, I say 6 hours and it moves exactly 6 hours. The cycling mirror, although I know that room was very haunted and it has been described as being that way by others in the past in that one bed and breakfast, I was studying and looking at that mirror left and right, developing a relationship within it from the moment I walked into that room. You know, to have what they call PK, psychokinesis, and to have your energy run amongst, you know, around you in your circumstances or whatever, creating havoc, is something that will always be confused with wondering if it was a paranormal situation. When those cups went flying into the door and falling down, I do recall I wasn't that far away from the pantry, you know, of course, in the bathroom, but unbelievable that happened. And then, of course, what was it in the pantry that caused the oil bottle to, like, not crush, but, you know, literally practically flatten with the oil in it, decompress? I've never, ever seen that ever before in my life. Is that paranormal, or was that my PK or whatnot floating around the room and causing all of this havoc? I have absolutely no idea. At the conference, I asked the speaker, how can you tell the difference? He could not answer the question. What he did, though, is he came back at me with a question, something that completely took me by surprise. He had asked me, because I've had so many, the movement of the types of objects that I report have been so, you know, more than a piece of tinfoil. He only knew one other person that he had met that had possibly had an encounter with a UFO. Of course, now that I say this, my desk is shaking, but I would like to believe that the train is going through rather than, you know, how bizarre. And then now it just stopped. I don't know. I just, my recording of this stopped a moment ago. I had to restart this whole segment. So let's see if I can, you know, get my whole room to shake by the time I'm done here. Will that be PK or is that something paranormal? But anyway, he had asked me if there was a possibility that I was abducted by a UFO. And he absolutely was dead serious, okay? And when someone is dead serious, I sit up and I take notice. Oh, there goes my desk again. My desk is, okay, you can stop shaking my desk any moment. Sometimes the train goes through, but I wasn't expecting it to go through now. So I didn't know how to answer that question. I knew that out in the Vegas area, there's always reports of, UFO sightings and stuff like that where people can't explain what it is and they're located on a particular mountain, but nobody can get close to these, number one. And number two, when a UFO experience does occur, you can't catch the thing. I think I should do an entire segment on UFOs and what I learned from the experts at the conference. And then, of course, there's a new show on TV now called UFOs, something like Uncovering the Truth. And I watch it if it's on or if it was only on periodically on Wednesday evenings at some point. So, of course, we're just talking about all this stuff. And then this show comes on by a fluke and is regurgitating everything that was actually said at that conference. Or was that a coincidence that that would happen? I do not believe I was abducted by any UFO for the reason that I don't know how that would happen. I mean, logically. But on this show, there were people who have apparently been abducted by a UFO and they had inside of their body in places after they've done an MRI or a CAT scan, they were able to find the little, I don't know what you would call it, but it was like an implant, just really tiny, probably a quarter inch length. And it was covered with human-like tissue, so it would go undisclosed and they would never feel it and all that, that they actually found and dug out of people and realized that some of this stuff was actually transmitting information back to these, I'm going to use the word alien, sorry. There's the reason why we haven't heard a lot about UFOs and this is because the ones that are closest to actually having experience with these entities / ships / whatever usually have to deal with our Department of Defense, our defenses. Another thing would be the airline people always report, it seems, something flying next to them, around them, by them. You know, the reason why we don't hear this stuff is from the defense standpoint, embarrassment was something that they just didn't want to bring up. And the other thing is they can't catch them. So I believe it was Ronald Reagan, don't quote me, that was brought up in our conference, who actually they had spotted one while he was flying in the United States of America airplane, you know, his presidential plane. And he actually gave the command for the pilot to actually follow the UFO. Now, of course, he wasn't sure what it was at the time. But the bottom line is it outran him and it just darted off at thousands of miles faster. So that's the other problem we have is that the other thing is there's been reports on UFOs with people who have had encounters or who have actually physically touched something that looked like a vessel or whatnot, that the radiation is so strong that it causes burning and actually has killed some of these individuals who have had an experience with the vessel or with whomever. So now we're dealing with major radiation threats because what do you do with that? You know, how do you protect yourself from something like that? If I felt strongly enough that I had a occurrence with the UFO, if I really, really was abducted, and that's the reason why I'm having all these experiences now, and everywhere I go, I have an experience, or sometimes it's getting stronger, and sometimes it gets weaker, I would probably contact somebody who I've seen on television that seems to be an expert in this to make them aware of this possibility and have an MRI or a CAT scan done just to rule out that I don't have something hidden inside of me that may be transmitting something to someone or whatever. And that's why I seem to have all of these unusual experiences happening to me. Or is it PK? my mind is just very powerful and wired a little differently with a higher frequency causing all of this? That's a question that has to be asked. Or am I simply having a lot of experiences with the paranormal that somehow seem to be, I'm not going to use the word polluting, but I'll say polluting, in other words, taking over a specific area for whatever reason. And from that, where reports are constant, more than just myself, we have to ask the question as to what happened with on the land, if there was anything, you know, that went on that would cause a number of these reports to occur. And it seems like everybody has something a little bit different to report. Is it psychokinesis when someone rolls over in their bed, literally, and sees an old woman laying there staring back at them? I don't think so. But could it be psychokinesis with me or somebody else making something move and having the right connection at the right time with something and having that happen? It's possible. Or what exactly is it? Unfortunately, I have to end this segment right now because I want to get into it. But if I, maybe what I'll do is I'll try to gather up some more information on what I learned about the UFO phenomenon, present that in a new episode in the future. But for now, I hope what I've said has given you something to really think about. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Good night.